Notice how strange and very different the resurrection accounts are than anything else in the Bible, or for that matter, in all of human life. Very strange and different. These aren't just more really cool stories to complete some narrative. Things are forever changed. Forever. Something is radically different. There is now a way out of slavery to sin and darkness. Yes, Christ our Passover has been sacrificed and is now risen from the dead. He has exploded forth from the tomb victorious and offers a marvelous new life in him to all who are willing to walk with him and surrender to him instead of the things of this world. This is what Easter is all about, friends. It's what it's all about. His victory isn't a subtle one. Those of you that have been to Turin and seen the shroud or have even seen some of the exhibits, there's one in Jerusalem that I've seen, know what I'm talking about. They have these explanations and the backlight behind Christ that created the image on that shroud. Even today, the whole world can't produce enough power, enough lumens to be able to produce that. This was an explosive thing. He didn't just kind of knock on the stone and roll it away. This was explosive, friends, not subtle at all. And life in him is not a subtle departure either from life in this world. Easter is meant to be a shocking, earth-shattering experience for us, a revolution for us to rejoice in. But we're so used to talk about resurrection, of course our parish is named Resurrection, that we can become desensitized to the profundity of Christ's victory. We may also not fully embrace the good news because we don't fully understand it. And we can't. That's just not going to happen this side of heaven. The women in today's gospel passage aren't desensitized at all. They're astounded and confused as they encounter the resurrection for the first time. You know, what is going on here? They just don't know what to think or do since this is so new and unprecedented and unexpected for them. Even though Christ told them it was going to happen, they still didn't understand what he was talking about. So we heard they're utterly amazed that Christ's body is not there for them to anoint it with their spices and their balms, right? And this is a worldly kind of thinking from them. It's very reasonable, right? We expected his body to be here and it's not. It's not like it's faulty in that sense. Yet the mysterious young man in the white garment that's in the tomb there, mysteriously, he counsels them otherwise. Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. That empty tomb. Now they're probably amazed all the more, but for different reasons, right? Christ has been raised from the dead? What? You'll see him in Galilee, this young man says. And like, what? Like, what are you talking about? What does this mean? How do I even make sense of this? What does this mean for my life now? They must have been wondering these kind of things. Christ doesn't want these women to continue living in the tomb of earthly life. That's what's going on here. He's calling them to an entirely new life in him. Entirely new life. And guess what? He wants the same for you too. You don't have to continue living in the tomb of your sin, your struggles, and your darkness, brothers and sisters. You don't have to. You can choose to, but Christ doesn't want you to. He wants to burst through all of your worldly ways of thinking and living, even the good ones, like we see with the holy women today, so that you can walk with him in the glorious freedom of the children of God. That's what he wants for you, friends. Now, the great St. Paul is no stranger to these truths, to this radical and explosive reality of the resurrection, as we see in today's second reading. Marvelous piece from Romans chapter 6, his kind of key teaching on baptism here. He says, we were indeed buried with him through baptism into death. Sounds pretty promising, doesn't it? These seven out here are going to be baptized into death here in a few minutes. Nice. It doesn't end there, though, thankfully. So through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. That's what you're going to experience. We've talked about it. We've shared stories, but you have no idea what it's going to be like. You're going to know here in a few minutes. And there it is, what Paul's talking about, this newness of life, a radical new life that we're called to. Radical. This isn't a life that's just a little better than life as you know it now. Not even a lot better than life as you know it now. Far surpasses that. Paul continues, we know that our old self was crucified with him so that our sinful body might be done away with, that we might no longer be in slavery to sin. Yes, we have put on the new man, so to speak, in baptism, and Christ has set us on a new path of freedom. Freedom from this slavery to sin and darkness. We just have to keep choosing it. That's the key. It's not just a one-time blip on the map. Okay, I was baptized on March 30th, 2024. Check it off the box. No, it's a gift that's meant to give and give. How many of the responsorials do we hear that talked about the wellsprings of salvation? They talked about the goodness of baptism. That's not happenstance. It's a gift that keeps on giving if we choose it. Paul continues. Death no longer has power over him. He's talking about Christ, of course. He died to sin once for all. As to his life, he lives for God. He lives for God. Not anything here on this earth. He lives for God. Consequently, you too must think of yourselves as being dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. Beautiful stuff from Paul. Yet, our walk through the Old Testament clearly shows that despite all that God has done, us humans still often turn from him. Somehow. How do we talk ourselves into it? I don't know. It's crazy. Creation was good. It was all good, as we saw. The beautiful first reading. And Adam and Eve, they weren't named yet, but we know that they received those names. They had everything they needed. They were there in paradise. What more could you possibly want? That one thing that God said they couldn't have. That's what ate them alive. And then they chose that, right? When they had everything they needed. So things, of course, went south. What's God's response? Mercy and forgiveness. Relentlessly, he responds all the way down through the ages with his mercy and forgiveness. And yet the people often still choose other ways to live. Because God's ways aren't very convenient oftentimes, right? They require us to make changes. But now, friends, we have something, indeed someone, talking about Jesus here, that is infinitely more powerful and glorious than anything they saw in the Old Testament. And we see this infinite power in the Eucharist, the source and summit of our faith, right, that we're celebrating. This is the biggest Mass of the whole year. It's so wonderful that you're here. And he wants to lead us on that final Exodus. We had, you know, an excerpt from the Exodus there in the, what was it, the third reading from the Old Testament, where the Lord leads the Israelites through the Red Sea. Ding, 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 hint, baptism, right? That's a hint, that's a prefigurement of baptism. And so he leads them out of Egypt and then eventually to the Promised Land. Well, Christ wants to lead us from the exile of this earthly life into the Promised Land of heaven. That's the final Exodus. That's what he's all about, brothers and sisters. And yet, all this is readily available to us, and we fall into the same traps. The false idols might look a little different than they did back in the days, right? We don't have little figurines of Zeus or whatever gods they had, but we have our false gods. To prevent this, well, then again, we need to choose Christ every day, all day. Not just once in the morning, not just once at noon, all day. That's how we live this radical new life in him. That's how we stay safe from the things of the world that can lead us away from him. So allow him to amaze and astonish you, especially to our elect and to our candidates. That's exactly what he wants to do. Amaze and astonish you and to guide you to this entirely new life in him. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for all of us. No doubt. He calls you so tenderly and eagerly, the hound of heaven, so tenderly and eagerly, always ready to take you back and restore you to justice. No matter how far you've wandered, he's always right there, right there. As we heard in that wonderful piece from Isaiah 54, I think it was the fifth reading that we had. O afflicted one, storm-battered and unconsoled. All of us have that afflicted, storm-battered, unconsoled soul, more so at other times than more so sometimes than others. The Lord wants to lead us back to justice. Far from the fear of oppression, where destruction cannot come near you. He wants to keep you safe in the shadow of his wings. It's exactly what he desires. Then we heard in the very next reading from Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek him in his mercy and his forgiveness that he's always offering, always reaching out to you. Let the scoundrel forsake his way and the wicked man his thoughts. A little later we heard, just as the rain and the snow come down and they don't return to the Lord without doing their job, right? I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but without watering the soil and helping it become fertile and fruitful, the Lord says, so shall my word be. Now we're thinking the word made flesh, right? Capital W on the word there, right? Comes down to us, wants to become flesh within our hearts. And then return an offer of sacrifice and praise and thanksgiving, a life of ongoing conversion. That's what the Lord wants to do within us. If we just keep saying yes, that's exactly what he's going to do. Can't help but touch on that last reading from the Old Testament, the seventh one, that beautiful piece from Ezekiel, where the Lord is lamenting about how the humans have wandered, his people have wandered, but he wants to put a new heart. He wants to take out that stony heart and make a fleshy heart out of our hearts. He wants to put a new soul within us. He wants to breathe new life in us. It's exactly what he's doing through the sacramental life of the church. That's exactly what he's going to do in a very amazing and profound way with our elect here, and also with our candidates who will be confirmed and some receive First Communion. He's so super abundantly generous. It's all here. It's all our fingertips, friends. We just have to say yes, keep choosing him. So, let's wrap this together. I see some tired faces out there, and we have a ways to go here yet. Brothers and sisters, don't go looking for the living one among the dead. We'll hear that next year at the Easter Vigil. It comes from Luke's gospel passage for year C that's proclaimed at the vigil. The angel or the young man says to Mary Magdalene, why are you looking for the living one among the dead? You're not going to find him there. No. You're going to end up back in your old ways. You're going to end up back in the tomb. If you keep looking for him in the tomb, right? He's not there. He's gone. Don't run from this strange new life that Christ offers you. Instead, friends, allow him to explode forth in your heart and burst through all that holds you back from embracing him completely. He's going to do that with the cross. That's his instrument. That's his weapon. That's how he destroyed sin and death. So he's going to lead you to the cross. Allow him to do that so that you can be dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. Allow his earth-shattering, stunning, shocking victory to be ever present in your heart so that you can leave the tomb behind and forever walk in resurrection glory. This is what you were created for, brothers and sisters. This is it. That's how Christ wants you to live. He gives you everything you need, so grab it, embrace it, live it, rejoice in it, transform the world through it. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Happy Easter.